All right, welcome everyone to another deep dive. Today we're looking at a case with some big lessons, I think, especially for law students out there.
Definitely a case with some real-world takeaways.
Yeah, and we're talking about Daewoo Engineering, the United States, decided back in 2009. And this one really gets into, fraud in government contracting.
A topic that can seem a little dry, but this case, it really brings it to life and shows the serious consequences that can come up.
Yeah, some really hefty consequences we'll get into. So to set the scene, this involves Daewoo Engineering, a South Korean firm.
Yeah.
And they got this contract from the U.S. Army.
That's right, a contract to build, of all things, a road over in Palau.
Yeah, a road in Palau. You know, not something that maybe jumps to mind right away.
Not exactly the most high-profile project, but the legal issues, those are definitely significant.
For sure. And one thing that kind of set off alarm bells right from the start was the bid that Daewoo submitted.
Oh, that bid. Yeah, it was a head-scratcher for sure. They came in at $88.6 million.
Which, you know, on its face, maybe doesn't sound crazy.
Right, until you compare it to what the government was estimating for the same project.
Which was?
Somewhere between $100 and $250 million.
Yeah, so a huge gap there.
A massive difference, yeah.
So right away, it's like, okay, how did they come up with this number?
Yeah, that's a question that should come up immediately for anyone looking at this bid.
And as things went on, there were delays, right?
Yeah, the project didn't exactly go smoothly.
Yeah.
And Daewoo, they blame the government for these delays.
What was their reasoning there?
They claimed the government hadn't properly addressed some soil compaction issues.
Ah, so, you know, problems with the ground itself.
Exactly, making it harder for them to do the construction. And because of these delays, they filed this big claim under the Contract Disputes Act. We'll just call that the CDA for short.
Okay, so the CDA, that's the legal mechanism for these kinds of disputes.
Yeah, it's the way contractors can seek relief when they think the government has done them wrong contractually.
And how much were they asking for?
It's a cool $64 million.
$64
million? $64 million, yeah.
All right, so we're talking serious money here.
Oh, absolutely. Not small potatoes at all.
And how did they break down that claim? Like, what was it for?
So they divided it into two parts. The first part, about $13 million. That was for costs they said they had already, you know, racked up. Actual expenses.
Okay, so, you know, makes sense. Delays happen. You got to cover the costs.
Right, the kind of thing you'd expect to see in these kinds of claims. But the second part, that's where things got interesting.
The second part, yeah.
This was for future expenses, costs they projected they'd have because of these delays. And that amount.
Let me guess, it was a lot.
It was a bulk of it, yeah. Okay. $50.6
million. 50.6. Okay, so right there, alarm bells should be going off.
Absolutely, right, that's a huge red flag.
Yeah.
And the government, they saw that red flag too.
So what was their take on this $50.6 million?
They basically said, hold on, this isn't legitimate.
Yeah.
This is not about actual projected costs. This is a negotiating ploy.
A negotiating ploy, meaning?
Meaning they were throwing out this inflated figure, hoping to, you know, scare the government into settling or at least give them some leverage in negotiations.
So not exactly acting in good faith here.
No, not at all. And that's where a whole bunch of legal issues come into play.
Yeah, let's talk about the legal side of things, because you've got this claim. There are allegations of basically fraud. What laws are we dealing with here?
All right, so we've got a few key players in this legal drama. First up, you've got the Contract Disputes Act, the CDA, which we already talked about. And that requires contractors to certify their claims,
mm-hmm,
right? Meaning they got to swear they're made in good faith, that the data is accurate.
So no funny business with the numbers.
Exactly. You can't just make stuff up.
Yeah.
Then you've got the False Claims Act, or the SCA. And this one has some real teeth.
In what way?
It lays out some serious penalties for anyone who knowingly submits false claims. We're talking big fines and even, you know, the possibility of going to jail.
Oh, wow. Okay, so things just got very real.
Yeah, the FCA is not messing around. And then there's the Forfeiture Fraudulent Claims Act, or FFCA for short.
Yeah, and that one is?
It basically takes a zero-tolerance approach. If any part of your claim is fraudulent, the whole thing gets thrown out.
The whole thing. Wow, okay, so that's a pretty big hammer.
Yeah, it's designed to be a strong deterrent.
So back to the case. The government says this is fraud. What kind of evidence did they actually present?
Well, the Court of Federal Claims, which heard the case initially, they really dove deep into the details. And they found that Daewoo's claim for those future costs, that $50.6 million, it was riddled with problems.
Like what?
For starters, it had zero expert analysis to back it up. no solid grounding in any kind of, you know, professional assessment.
They're just kind of like pulled out of thin air.
Pretty much. And their documentation was a mess. They were using terms like actual and projected interchangeably. It was impossible to tell what was what. Even their own damager experts ended up casting doubt on those figures.
Oh, that's gotta hurt when your own experts are like, oh, I don't know about this.
Yeah, not a good look. But, you know, just because a claim is poorly supported doesn't automatically mean it's fraud.
Right, you gotta prove intent. Like, they knew what they were doing was wrong.
Exactly, and that's where things get really interesting. The court, through internal emails and testimony, they uncovered evidence that strongly suggested Daewoo knew that $50.6 million was bogus.
Can you give an example, like what kind of evidence?
Well, there's this one really damning piece of evidence. It's an admission from J.W. Kim, the Daewoo rep who certified the whole claim. He basically admitted under oath that the $50.6 million was meant to get the government's attention.
So straight up acknowledging that it was a tactic.
Yeah, pretty much saying we knew it was inflated, but we wanted to make a splash.
Not a great legal strategy. So what was the court's final verdict?
They ruled that it was deliberate fraud, and they had clear and convincing evidence to support that finding.
And that standard, clear and convincing, that's pretty high, right?
It's a significant hurdle. It means the evidence has to be really strong.
So the court wasn't just like, eh, we think this might be fishy. They were certain.
Very certain. And the penalties reflected that.
Let's get into those penalties. What did Daewoo end up facing?
Okay, so first, under the CDA, they were hit with a $50.6 million penalty.
Matching the amount they tried to pull one over on the government with.
Exactly, kind of a you lose what you cheat situation. Then on top of that, there was a $10,000 fine under the False Claims Act.
Okay, so already we're talking serious money. But then there's that third act. The FFCA, the one with the zero tolerance policy.
Right, and this is where it gets really painful for Daewoo. Because the court found part of their claim fraudulent, the entire $64 million was forfeited.
The entire thing. Even the part that, you know, might have been legitimate.
Yep, all of it gone. That's the thing about the FFCA. It doesn't mess around. It's all or nothing.
Wow, that's really something. So for our law students listening, what are the big takeaways from this case?
I'd say there are a few really crucial lessons here. Number one, that good faith certification requirement in the CDA, it's not just a box to check. It has real teeth.
So you're saying don't even think about trying to use an inflated claim as a negotiating tactic.
Exactly, because as Daewoo learned, it can backfire spectacularly.
All right, what else?
Documentation, documentation, documentation. You absolutely have to have solid evidence to back up every single element of your claim. Daewoo's lack of support for that $50.6 million was a huge problem for them.
So essentially, be prepared to prove where every dollar is coming from.
Exactly. And then the third big takeaway is understanding how these different laws, CDA, FCA, FFCA, they all work together. A single fraudulent act can trigger penalties under multiple laws.
So it's not just one penalty, it's potentially a whole bunch of them coming at you from different directions.
All right, it's a web of liability. And the final point, and maybe the most important one, even if you think part of your claim is legitimate, if any of it is tainted by fraud, you risk losing the whole thing.
So even a small lie can sink the whole ship.
Absolutely. No room for even a little bit of dishonesty when you're dealing with government contracts.
Wow. This has been, I think, really eye-opening. So to recap for everyone, good faith is crucial. Be aware of the severe consequences of fraud and document everything meticulously.
Couldn't said it better myself.
All right, so before we wrap up, just a final thought for everyone to chew on. Think about where assertive negotiation crosses the line into fraud. And what are the long-term consequences? Not just legally, but also for your reputation and credibility. Because once that trust is broken, it's really hard to get it back.
A great point to consider. Honesty and integrity, they're not just about following the rules. They're the foundation of a successful career.
Well said. Thanks for joining us for another deep dive. We'll be back soon with more fascinating legal cases.
Until then, keep learning and keep exploring.
See you next time.
Take care.